listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca.
Mark Spector from Rogers Sportsnet joins us. Speck, how you doing?
You know, you're so negative, Jason. I think the penalty kill was really good against Colorado. Didn't they go like perfect on 8 attempts or something?
They might have, Speck. I'll be honest, I wasn't really. You're right, though. Hey, Noah Philp, if we're looking for positives, Noah Philp killed almost 5 minutes of penalty killing time in that game. So I would think maybe with Nugent Hopkins out, look for Noah Philp to get a little bit more PK time.
Yeah, that's a good spot. Anyway, no, listen, there's what you just said was, I think, one of the more pertinent things is, sure, win tonight, great. Play well tonight, sure, good. But, yeah, you got a road trip coming up that starts with stops in Philly and Columbus, two teams that aren't great. So you should be able to start that road trip off on the right. You know, it's a seven-game trip that ends in Tampa and Florida. So you better win some early because it's going to be hard to win some late. So, yes, this first part of this week here, it's an important week for the Oilers to get this ship back in the right spot here.
Oof, because, yeah, it was, speaking of a ship, it was looking like Forrest Gump and Jenny when he saw Captain Dan for the first time, because it just crashed in. There was no one driving the boat, and it just crashed into shore, not looking good. It was a game that, you know, the first 8-10 minutes, actually, they played well, but after that, Speck, whew, did the wheels fall off quickly?
Well, it's funny, you know, we were talking to Stu Skinner today, and I was pretty adamant about, you know, I thought after the second goal that the team just stopped playing. Like, they just lost. It's like, uh-oh, here we go again. Our goal is at another garbage goal against a really good team. And I thought the Oilers just noticeably sagged. And I'm blaming Stu Skinner's performance for that. But he did come back and make a giant save. They got a huge break on the offside call. Yep. Then the next period opens. He makes another giant save. And Stu Skinner said today, you know, part of being a goalie is you have games where you let in a bleeder, but you make a whole bunch of killer saves and you're feeling pretty good about your game. But everybody else thinks you played terrible. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, we've watched that too often with Stu Skinner. The bad goal surrounded by a bunch of good saves. It's in his sort of, in my thinking around Stu Skinner is, the bad goal is starting to rule the day, right? It really rules the day. Yeah, he did make a couple great saves after that, Jay. But you know what? Stop the ones you're supposed to stop and add in those great saves, and then you got a goalie.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And, you know, but hey, the goalie was one element of their game. Their power play was junk. Their 5-on-5 scoring was junk. Their 5-on-5 defending was junk. Their pushback non-existent again, Spec. And that, to me, is like, if there was ever a time to get mad and take a dumb penalty, that's the game to do it. Like, what are you worried about? Oh, and like you said, hey, our penalty kill's playing great. Now I could take a selfish penalty, get a little ounce of flesh maybe, do something. Nothing. It was crickets.
Well, and now I think you look to the two toughest guys on your team, and that's Darnell Nurse and Trent Frederick. You know, and neither guy. And at least Darnell Nurse is playing, you know, close to top defensive minutes, and he's got a lot of things on his plate. I would expect a little pushback from him because he's a big, tough customer. But I'll tell you what, Trent Frederick's the guy that if he's not pushing back and playing physical, what else is he doing? I mean, we asked him about it right after the game. But I thought today, Jay, you know, when you tweeted out the quote from Chris Knobloch, like, to me, sometimes you ask a coach about a player who's not going very good, and they don't really want to answer that because they don't want to lie to you, but they don't want to call their player out. Mm-hmm. And today, when asked if Trent Frederick has given this team enough, I thought Chris Knobloch jumped in with both feet and said, nope, he's not giving us enough, and here's all the things I want from him.
Yeah.
So sometimes you ask the coach that question, and he's saying thanks for the question because I want to talk about this. And they've had about enough of the ghost of Trent Frederick, right? Ghost of Trent Frederick has been here since last trading deadline. It's time for an actual guy to show up in that uniform. And I haven't seen it, and I watched every minute. I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if our listeners have seen it. But I'll tell you what, this guy's got an 8-year deal here, and he's part of this thing whether you like it or not. So let's go, buddy. Show up and become part of this thing.
Yeah. I look at him and many other guys. But, yeah, like for his skill set, okay, what are you bringing? And the only thing that I was kind of like, well, you know, geez, I got one goal. Guys don't want to fight guys with one goal. I'm like, pardon? Right? Like, what? Yeah. How many fighters – we know you're not a fighter, but fighters like Matt Rempe has way more penalty minutes than he has points. He has more fights than he has points. Like, give me a break. Like and here's the thing, Spec. We both know. If you want to find a fight, if you're at the bar and you really want to get in a fight, you'll get in a fight. Yeah. Right? I knew a few guys I grew up with, and I was just like, you're an idiot. But guess what? I feel like I'm going to fight. And he would find a fight. If you want to find a fight in the NHL, you can find it. You might have to try harder. Right? You might have to really annoy someone, but you can do it. Don't give me the excuse that you can't find one, because guess what? I haven't seen you really go asking, hey, do you want to fight? That's nothing. Go out there, hit someone, scrum it up, give them a face wash, go by the bench, chirp them, do something. But just saying, oh, I asked him, like, excuse me, sir, would you like to have a fight? Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, to me, that's it. It's not about starting a fight. It's about playing the kind of game where a fight finds you, right? Get out there and drill Landeskog. Get out there and stand over that goalie and get out there and push a defenseman back into his net, right? Stand in the crease after the whistle blows and don't move for a while, right? Be over top of goalie. Drill somebody a little bit late once in a while. Don't worry, man. You'll get your fights. Like, I don't care if he fights. Fighting in the game today is almost irrelevant. I'm not a guy that's living in 1975. Fights, who cares? But play that way and fights will happen. Like, that's still inevitable in our game, even though there's not much fighting. But he's not even crossing the first letter of that list off, man. He's not standing over a goalie. He's not hitting anyone. He's not, targeting their better players. He's not pushing after a whistle. He's a very tame player. Fights aren't going to find that guy, right? No, the way he's playing, they're not going to find that guy.
Yes. Completely agree. So we'll see where they go tonight. The Blue Jackets, they're always a scrappy team. They're rarely the most skilled team, but they work hard. Now, they got some guys who are sick. But the one good thing for Edmonton, McDavid's Amherst almost 2 points a night against Columbus. Columbus penalty kill is awful. Their power play is dreadful right now. But Nugent Hopkins, Spec, I think he's been, if you had to give me right now through 16 games, best Oilers, I would have Nugent Hopkins number one on my list. He's been the most consistent player night in and night out, I think, for Edmonton. And he's now out, the coach said, a week, which means it's probably multiple weeks based on what we've heard from other injuries. So, but that, I think that's a pretty big loss for the Oilers.
Oh, for sure it is. He does a lot of stuff. He's on both special teams, and he plays on the first or second line every single night. So, yeah, there's, you know what? Like, I look at Draisaitl and McDavid, and I'm asking, what the heck are they even doing on the PK? That's something that should get spread around. But not Nugent Hopkins. He's good at it, and he's been doing it a long time. He should be on the PK. So, yes, for sure. Losing him, he's one of those guys, Jay, that when he's in there, sometimes you kind of forget about him because he's a pretty, he's a slick, quiet guy that just gets the job done. When he falls out of the lineup, all of a sudden you go, hey, wait a second, how come this isn't working so well anymore? Right? And, we'll see if they find that tonight. But, Nuge is a bigger part of this thing than most people give him credit for sure.
I think a big reason why, Draisaitl, McDavid, now they weren't that much on the penalty kill. I looked, they were only like a minute in, and you mentioned all the penalty kill they had. But there's only a handful of forwards, Spec. Joel Armia, McDavid, Draisaitl, Cole Sillinger, and Valeri Nichushkin, Lekkonen as forwards who have played at least 15 minutes. And if I bump it up to 20, it's even shorter, who haven't been on the ice for a goal against. So McDavid and Draisaitl on the penalty kill have basically been perfect. They haven't been on the ice for one goal against, and they do have one goal. Now, it was an empty netter, so maybe don't count that as much. But when I look at their minutes played, man, amongst forwards, like the whole goal of penalty killing is to not get scored on. Well, then you can argue they've been their two best penalty killers. So I see why the coach is still using them. I did notice Noah Philp at 4.5 minutes last game, so maybe the coach's like, God, even though they're that good and their penalty kill is pretty good, I'm going to start changing. And I think that was part of his reasoning, was the penalty kill's been awful for the last few years, And he's even said it. The two best penalty killers are McDavid and Draisaitl because of their instincts and how they anticipate. And the numbers back it up, right? Like, them being on the ice for, like, a shot, a goal against. And look, they played 22 minutes each. They've only been outshot 12-7, spec, on the penalty kill. Like, so it's hard. That's the one. It's hard for me to critique the coach using them when they're basically have been perfect on the penalty kill. And 20 minutes is not like a small sample size really at this stage, right? Like, there's not a lot of guys playing 20 minutes who have yet to be on the ice for a goal against as forwards.
Oh, well, that's fair. And the numbers don't lie. And maybe I'm wrong, but I base my opinion on something that Knobloch did when he first showed up here.
Yeah.
And that was give guys assignments and make them part of the team. And now maybe he would say to you or to me, I don't have enough of that personnel. I don't have enough guys that I can trust killing penalties. So that's why I got to use these guys. And if that's how he feels, then he should talk to Stan Bowman. That's Stan Bowman's job. But I'll tell you where I come from is the old trap around this team. And that's anytime something happens, we got to count on 97 and 29 getting out of it. We need a goal, they play. You got a power play, they play. Now you have a penalty kill, they play. There's too little responsibility for the rest of the guys. They're sitting on the bench watching the two superheroes solve every problem. We've been down this road in this town, Jay, a million times, and it is not the solution. I'm not disputing your PK numbers, but I want a team where I got guys who kill penalties and I don't need to lean on my same two guys to solve every problem for me. Cause that hasn't worked around here either. You got to admit that.
Yeah. So that it's true, right. In other forms, but to me on the penalty kill, it's working. I did see last game though, like they kind of came the third pair. They only were out for a minute and 20 seconds each in that game. And that's probably because there was a lot of power play time, right? Like they had a lot of power play time. So
yeah.
I think some games they're penalty killing spec because they're only getting one or two power plays anyway. It's not like they're, you know, overplaying them on the power play and then overplaying them on the penalty kill. And because it's working and right now when you can't score, you got to do anything in your power to limit goals. So I get it. And honestly, against this, now this power play of Columbus isn't very good. So, you know what? Maybe Noah Philp and those other guys get more time. But with Nugent Hopkins out, I'm not sure you're going to see them come out off the penalty kill that much because Mangiapane hasn't worked at all. Like, he's gotten scored on way too much on the penalty kill. So I wonder if that's why Philp is on it now. And I'm sure Janmark's back in. He should be a no-brainer to be on the penalty kill. So there are some guys, at least you know, Janmark can take Nugent Hopkins' spot on a penalty kill and not feel like it's a real big step down.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You miss, you know, this is one of those guys, you miss Janmark maybe more than you think you would. Like, when I saw that fourth line come out the other day with Howard and Savoy on the wings and Tomaszek at center, I'm here to tell you that fourth line is not getting you anywhere in the National Hockey League. Like, that is not a National Hockey League fourth line. Those are not players that should be made into checking guys. Those are not players that are, fourth liners got to kill penalties for you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my fourth line has got to be a big part of my PK if I have a proper team. Those guys aren't. That was an abomination. I get it. The coach only has so many players. So this isn't me critiquing Knobloch. But when I looked at that lineup with that line as their fourth line, a Euro with a dozen games under his belt and two really small skill guys, that Stan Bowman's got to get to work here. That fourth line ain't going to cut it, man. No chance.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Looking at the Hockey Hall of Fame tonight, this class spec from the NHLers that are going in there, you know, and obviously, you know, Botterill and Brandon Decker, there's no one really complaining about them. I haven't heard anybody saying, well, geez, McGillney didn't deserve to be in. Thornton, I'm not sure. Keith, I'm not sure. Char, like this is a pretty star-studded group this year going into the Hall.
Oh, yeah. I mean, McGillney's been the one guy people have questioned several years now. And now he doesn't show up at the Hall of Fame. Like, I'm not going to cast judgment. I hope that everything's okay. But for all the years he's had to get in, I thought we'd see him here. Jumbo is one of the great passers in the history of hockey. Like, there's no one's questioning Joe Thornton. You know, Chara was, in his generation, one of the great defensemen, won a Stanley Cup. You know, just an unbelievably top player. And who am I missing? The fourth guy?
Duncan Keith, Chara.
There you go, Duncan Keith.
Yeah.
Say more. Three Stanley Cups, legitimate number one defenseman, played 1,200 games, won a Conn Smythe, I believe he won an Norris.
Yes.
That's
Actually won multiple Norrises.
Yeah, multiple Norrises. No brainer, man. This is a class of no controversy. I'm pretty sure of that one.
Yeah, and like really competitive guys, Spec, when you look at them and how they played, which is no surprise. There's very few Hall of Famers that weren't that competitive when you think about it. But I look at the orders and I just – the thing I'm going to watch for all week, not just one game, is where's their competitiveness at? Leon's quote today I thought made it – goes, hey, you don't need guys to play their best hockey now. But you need guys to have their B-plus game. And then some nights, two guys will have their A game, and the rest – and if most guys can have their B-plus game, well, now we're going in the right direction. There's very few nights you could look and say, you know, more than a few guys even had their B-plus game going.
Well, this is why, like, a question that I've been asking a lot the last couple of days around here is, can you have a team game if your individual players are all playing this far below what you expect them to play? You know, like Frederick, part of the Oilers' identity and their team game is, you know, you always have a couple guys that are supposed to be physical. They don't have many. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be one of them.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't do it, they're majorly in arrears in their physical game. If Darnell Nurse is a 22, 23 minute defenseman, if he's not defended, they're not counting on him for points at all. They're counting on him to keep pucks out and make this own end a hard place to play. If he's not doing that, their defensive game is a mess. Like they're counting on Ekholm to be the Seabrook to Bouchard's Keith. Like, be a defender. And when Bouchard goes or makes a mistake, you got to cover up for that guy. That's part of his mandate. And if he's not doing it, then your whole team doesn't work that well. So,
no.
Yeah. I totally hear what Draisaitl's saying here, but it starts with each guy being a better version of himself. Then, right, then you got a chance of making this team look like we thought it was going to look when the season started.
Yeah, and we'll see how it goes, Spec. It's been an interesting week to me. They got Columbus, then you got Philly and Columbus. It's not like you got Murderer's Row this week whatsoever for the Edmonton Oilers. So they have an opportunity here to right the ship, and they got to start digging themselves out now. I don't believe that Saturday was guaranteed rock bottom. That's not a guarantee because,
nope.
You know what, they could easily, you know what, play one good game and then lose two in a row, and all of a sudden you're right back to where you were. So, you know what, you got Columbus, Philly, Columbus, Carolina, Buffalo, their next five games. Like, outside of Carolina, you're not battling top dogs here. So this might be a little bit of a soft spot in the schedule if the Oilers decide to show up and play. If they don't, this could be a run here that really puts them in a deep hole. And then they got to be scrambling just to get out of it.
Yeah, never mind the rest of the week. They got to win tonight.
Yeah.
You know, Columbus beats them in Columbus fairly regularly by my memory. I've been to the last three or four games I've been to Columbus, Edmonton lost. So, you know what? Columbus isn't just going to walk in here and say, okay, no. The Oilers got smoked last game, so they're going to win tonight. They're not saying that. You know, you got to beat Columbus, so let's go. Let's see what you got. It's bounce back time, so let's see if you got a team that's going to bounce back here, Jay.
I know exactly what they're saying in Columbus's room is, guys, these guys might be fragile. Let's get up on them.
They are fragile.
100%, that's what they're going to be saying. Anybody who's ever played any sport, when you look, you played a team, hey, be leery of them, but boys, they could be a little fragile here. Let's jump on them. That's what you want. You want to get up on them and see if they can play from behind, or if it's like, uh-oh, here we go again, right? And that's when you're losing. That's the challenge to becomes as much of a mental battle as it does anything else.
Get your early shots in on Skinner and give him a chance to let one in he doesn't like and the rest of the team doesn't like. That's what you're doing if you're Columbus.
Yeah.
And if you're Edmonton, you know what? This is a game that Skinner's got to show guys like me that we're full of garbage and that he is a guy that can do it, because we haven't seen him do it much. Tonight's the night for Stu Skinner. He gets his start. It's a big start for Stu Skinner, Jay.
Smack, we'll see you down at the rink, my man. Have a good one.
All right.
That's